This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
We are four friends in three states across two time zones with a shared passion. Welcome to the Sports Talk Garage Podcast, where we hit the fast lane to discuss our favorite drives, from the track and the ice to the court and the ball fields. We are four lifelong friends who grew up with a love of professional and collegiate sports. Today, we are bankers, investors, professors, and entrepreneurs, but our love of sports has never changed. Come listen for the fun, gain some insight, and probably a few laughs as we give you our perspective on those last liability changes, game-winning scores, and franchise players. This is the Sports Talk Garage.
Welcome, everyone, to Season 2, Episode 23 of the Sports Talk Garage Podcast. I'm your host, as always, John, here with Matt. David is under the weather this week, so we're giving him the week off. But, Matt, how's things going for you?
Pretty good. I think everybody's kind of fighting that cold weather, you know, cold, influenza, coronavirus, whatever is going around these days. So I know my family's got it at home. I'm somehow avoiding it like the plague, as they would say.
My whole family was hit with the flu. Apparently flu shots aren't really that effective, but, you know, I guess,
whatever makes you happy, dude.
But, so we're all kind of in recovery mode. So between that and some of the things that transpired earlier this week, that's why we're a little late this week, pushing an episode, just kind of, healing up, physically and mentally with everything going on. So we thought we would actually do things a little bit differently this week. We're actually going to start with our predictions, and then we'll talk about some other things that happened this week. So let's throw the green flag and get into that for our predictions. So, Matt, do you want to recap last week's predictions? Because they're ugly, and I don't really want to talk about my 0-4.
Yep, let's do it. I think Chris probably tied with me maybe on what happened this week. So last week we started off with the LA Clippers of the Dallas Mavericks. Mavericks were favored by 1.5. The Clippers won by 3. So still a very tight game. I was the only one who picked the Clippers, so I got a point. Daytona Rolex 24 IMSA race. Definitely was very excited. I caught a bunch of it as I was with my spouse in Chicago for some seminar she had and got to see John. So it was really exciting, but got to watch a chunk of it. I didn't realize that Wayne Taylor had won this race so many times over the last several years. And obviously Chris picked them. Don't know what his reasoning was, but he got a point. I was sad to see Team Penske not be able to really pull through it with the Acura team.
So close with overall, losses, good man. Race. They were like, I mean, the entire race, they were just right there with them and swapping, you know, through pit stops and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, maybe there's a chance, but yeah, well, I should have known. Damn Cadillacs.
Well, I was actually really excited. I don't remember which league it was, but one of the Lamborghini teams was run by an all-female crew, which was really cool. I was glad to see that, you know, kind of diversification in there. Unfortunately, they had a what seemed to be an engine fire, and that kind of ended the race. I don't think that's anything you can really control.
Like a fuel pump issue or something that then led to a fire, like some kind of leak, or maybe the fuel leak. But, not much you can do with that. But yeah, I saw that as well. That was pretty dang cool to see. We've had certainly females that participate in this event, you know, over the years, but this maybe the first all female group. So that I thought that was really cool.
I think you're right. I think we've all talked about going down there for that race. Hopefully maybe next year we'll all be there. My wife goes, I'd go watch it for 2 hours. I'm like, no, it's 24 and we're all going to be camping. So you're welcome to come.
Like, sit. I don't know what you're going to do for the other 22 hours, but,
right.
Yeah. We'll have to see if we can make that happen on these days, even though it's cold in Daytona in February or January, I should say, but oh, well, warmer than it is here.
Yeah, very true. Let's see. Okay. So the next one was the NFL Pro Bowl. The over under was at 50.5 points. The final was 71, which gave Chris, David, and I a point. John already threw that out. He didn't get any this week, so we'll just add to that. But Next game was the AFC versus NFC Pro Bowl game. The AFC was favored by one. They won by five again. So that was Chris. So all in all, the prediction stands for this week. Chris is at week 23 and one, which David went to 1-3 this week. John at 0-4, and I went 2-2. So Chris got the win for the week. It puts him at 46, 35 and one. David, no, sorry, I'm second with 43, 38 and one. So I'm only a couple behind Chris. David and John are tied at 40, 41 and one. So we've had some fun stuff, and I like that Chris is kind of throwing out there some new stuff. I think this week is going to be a lot of fun. So let's talk about that real quick. We're doing a lot of kind of, let's call them side bets or prop bets type stuff that we've picked up. Again, we don't encourage any betting, but we're having fun doing some picks out of it just for fun. There's no money involved between us. So anyway, this week, 49ers. The Chiefs are favored by one. I'm going to go with the 49ers
Yeah, is this just
on
a.
this one. I think they're probably going to win it, but I want to see the 49ers take this one.
Yeah, so Chiefs are favored by 1 point. So, I mean, Vegas has this thing really literally almost drawn right down the middle. So you're going who? You said 49ers?
I'm going to do the
Yeah, I
49ers.
think I'm going to roll with you. I feel like Chiefs may have better offense, but 49ers have better defense. Defense wins championships. I don't know. Yeah, it should be an exciting game.
Does.
It's going to be one of the. First time in the last couple of years that I've been pretty excited to see the matchup. Even though we've had some decent games the last few years that have shocked us all, but this one on paper looks to be really
Yeah.
exciting. So yeah, I'm gonna ride with you and go 49ers as well.
All right. And not to get too far out in the weeds, but there's definitely something to be said about Sammy Watkins that came out this week and said if they won, he's going to consider taking a year off. So we'll see where that goes. So that also puts the Chris and David are both picking the Chiefs. So we are split down the middle on that one. Next is the Super Bowl. The over under itself is 777 and a half total net yards of both teams. So over under, they're looking for a shootout. So are you and I going to stick with our defense wins championships and say that's going to be under, or do we think they're going to hold out just enough to, get a win? John,
So
what are you
you've
thinking
got an
for this one?
interesting prediction or conundrum here, Matt, because I think this is going to be our last game before we start over our predictions, heading into more, NBA type prop bets and stuff. So if that's the case, you math, I mean, technically, mathematically, because we're doing a good bit of prop bets this week, we could all win. But realistically, you're the only one that has a chance of taking out Chris. So,
So basically, I have to bet against Chris on pretty
pretty
much
much.
everything.
I mean, you're down three. I think we're doing like, what, six or seven prop bets here. So, you don't have to do it on everything, but something to keep in mind. We kind of like if any of us want a shot, we pretty much have to go against Chris on a lot of these things, and just hope and pray for a
Yeah.
miracle. Yeah, it's a lot. So, jeez, I still think these teams. I mean, we're talking about total yards too, so that's
Right, it doesn't
right.
matter how you
So
do
I'm
it.
gonna go over.
It's Well, it sounds like you and I are going to be on the same page against the other two again, because I'm going to say over on this one as well. Chris and David again both chose under. So that's going to split our lineup one more time. Again, 777.5 yards. So if we get to 778 total net yards, we in
It's
good
gonna be
shape,
tough.
John. It's going to be crazy. Let's see. So who will have more gross passing yards? Where does Chris get this stuff? This is great. Jimmy G or Mahomes? Mahomes is to throw for 69 and a half more yards than Garoppolo. Let's see. David chooses Mahomes. So again, Mahomes has to go for basically 70 yards of passing
Yeah,
yards.
more than
So let's
Garoppolo.
see. More than Garoppolo. So David's choosing Mahomes. Chris is going with Garoppolo. So Chris is saying under. He's picking the Chiefs, but he's taking the split here on yardage because Garoppolo's been throwing quite a bit. But I mean, let's be honest, Mahomes is, what was the statistic we read? He's throwing 4 yards ahead of the
It was
nearest
something
defender,
crazy. Yeah, I mean
something like
his
that.
wide
Yeah.
receivers have on average 4 yards of separation for every single passing play. So
Right.
I think I'm gonna go with Mahomes on this one.
Okay. I'm going to actually go with Chris. So we'll split ourselves right down the middle again. So this time, Chris and I are going to choose Jimmy Garoppolo. David and John are going to go with Mahomey. And again, Mahomes has to throw for basically 70 yards more than Garoppolo.
All right, I'm
Okay.
locked it down. It's
So.
official.
There you go. Let's see, who's going to have more? LeBron James total points versus Dallas Mavericks on Saturday. And the bet is going to be Patrick Mahomes completion, which basically means Mahomes has to have 1.5 more completions than LeBron scores points in order to win. So LeBron is, major point scorer out in LA. Dallas Mavericks have always have a good team, but can you stop LeBron from putting it to the rack every time? Or even dropping the threes that he's known for. So it's gosh, these are like all so tight together, but at the same time they're so different on how
Yeah,
you
it's
choose
interesting because
this.
this is like now we're talking about two different sports as well. So we're like further adding complexity to
Yep.
this. I think I'm gonna go with Mahomes.
So again, yeah, I was gonna say, so Mahomes again, just to reiterate, has to have 1.5 more completions than LeBron scores
Yeah, I'm just gonna hope
points.
LeBron has an off day or that AD catches fire and LeBron just keeps feeding it to him. It just goes for the
Right.
assist game.
I'm having a hard time on this one, but it's Do we know if it's home or away? I
I
think
think
they're
they're at
at
Dallas, I
Dallas.
believe.
Either way, you know what? I'm going to try and go with
All
LeBron on
right,
this
I'll be
one.
the lone wolf.
I'm going to try and join the group and see what
All right,
happens.
what's next? Oh yeah, what?
Okay.
Chris and David
Next
are also
one.
LeBron on that one, right?
Oh, sorry. Chris and David are going LeBron, so that puts John by himself with
Yeah.
the Mahomes
Won't
completions.
be the
Could
first time.
happen, but I'm hoping for that defense. Okay, so it's like we're kind of evening ourselves out here. Who's going to have more? Zion Williamson's points, total points versus the Rockets on Sunday, or the 49ers versus Chiefs first half points? Gosh, he found some crazy ones. Okay, so the 49ers versus the Chiefs first half points is a 4.5 point difference. So basically, first half points have to be more than 4.5 points more than Zion scores to win. All right. So Zion came out, I believe it was last week, had a really solid game coming out on, his first debut as a rookie. And, Chiefs and 49ers, if they don't have a shootout at the front of the gate here, may not make this. So just for fun, again, Chris and David agree, and they're choosing
What are
Zion.
you going to do about?
So Zion Williamson versus the Rockets. Eee. Defense wins games. This is a toss-up. Big defense for the 49ers versus the Chiefs just throwing all over. You know what? I'm going to go with that. Let's go with football and see if they can get a bunch of points. It's only a 4.5 point difference. The only difference is that Zion has the whole game versus,
So yeah, I think
49ers and Chiefs gain 1.5.
So when I was originally looking at this, I was like, all right, I'm gonna go football on this. But I feel like this game might be similar to what we saw a few times throughout the playoffs where these high-powered offenses kind of stuttered in the first half and they kind of had to fill each other out a little bit before they started flowing and getting their mojo. So this might be the one game that I think I'm gonna go with Chris and David on this one, and let you be the lone wolf on this one. I'm hoping that they'll start out a little bit slow, and then come second half, it'll start raining down. We'll see. That'll be interesting. This next one's gonna be crazy too.
Yeah, it's gonna be, gosh, he put, like I said, he's put all these prop bets like basically side by side. Are you picking the defense or the offensive side? And this is gonna be a tough one. Okay. What's next? Who's gonna have more?
That's Manchester.
Man's,
Yeah,
is that
Manchester
Manchester?
City.
That's not
No.
Manchester United. That's
No, United
Manchester
sucks these days.
City.
It's all about City.
Okay, so Manchester City. So now we're going over to
Football.
soccer versus football. So
Football
football and
versus
football.
football.
So keep up with us here. Yeah, Manchester City and Tottenham combined goals on Sunday. 49ers total touchdowns. So I mean, let's even say that soccer has a shootout of, you know, three to four, so seven total goals. Do the 49ers get that many total
Right, that's
touchdowns?
what we're asking here.
Right. David has chosen football with the Manchester City and Tottenham combined score. Chris is choosing football, Americano style, with 49ers. I'm going to join Chris here on the 49ers side.
Yeah, this one
John, how do you
sucks
feel?
because again, I don't want to go with Chris. Because I don't really have a chance in hell if we happen to pick the same games. But being a Tottenham fan, obviously I'm very familiar with this upcoming match with Man City, and
Is this a defensive matchup or an
well,
offensive matchup?
Man City is pretty explosive. They can be. I don't think they're not going to win the league this year. They're not going to repeat, but because Liverpool is literally running away with this, I think they're like 16 points ahead of second place in the tables right now. But Tottenham has struggled, unfortunately. That's my team, and so I've seen them struggle quite a bit. They've let in a lot of weird goals, and Harry Kane is out as well with torn hamstrings. Our number one striker, one of the best in all England. So I think this one's gonna unfortunately probably be like a 2-1, 3-1 game, probably in favor of Man City. So I'm thinking that we're gonna have like at most four goals scored, probably three realistically, because it's very possible that Man City gets a clean sheet on us, unfortunately, with not having a whole lot of strikers at the moment for Tottenham. So I'm thinking realistically it's probably like three goals, and I think the 49ers can score three touchdowns. I don't know what happens if it necessarily ties because it's not this is a straight bet one way or the other. It's not over under or anything like that. So I'm gonna unfortunately I think have to go with Chris and you on this one, even though it pains me for the overall point standings.
Well, this is just kind of an odd
It's a
prop
fun
bet.
one
So,
though.
right. Okay, so basically we had David as our lone football fan here, and everybody else is choosing American football. All right. Who will have more? James Harden's points, rebounds, and assists versus the Pelicans on Sunday, or longest touchdown of Super Bowl in yards. So Harden's total must be 1.5 more than the longest touchdown to win.
So basically, we're saying if you got
So
20
we're
points,
going on Harden's points, rebounds,
10
and
rebounds,
assists.
and 5 assists, you need to have 35. And so we're saying that the longest touchdown run or pass, or I guess technically defense, return, whatever, would be more than 35 yards for the touchdown or in the Super Bowl.
Right. So if they, I mean, if anybody basically gets returns a kickoff
Yeah, it's
or a
game
deep
over.
punt,
Yeah, most
football's
likely.
going to take it.
Unless Harding has the game of his life.
These are the two most explosive teams out there
Yeah, all it's going to take is probably like one
for
missed tackle,
football.
and this could break. So.
And it's not unusual. I mean, I get it's a Super Bowl, but it's not unusual for, you know, a mistake to happen and just break it loose. So I'm going to choose football on this
Yeah,
one for
I'm gonna go
longest
with you as
touchdown.
well.
And once again, we've split down the middle because Chris and David are both choosing James Harden on this. So Harden again has to get 1.5 more than the longest touchdown. So just for example, if there's a breakaway for a 100-yard touchdown, James Harden has to get 101.5, or let's call it 102 at this point, combined points, rebounds, and assists. So that's like a major triple double. No,
Yeah,
triple triple
seriously.
to even get close if it's a long break. Now, if it's a 50-yard, triple double
Yeah,
will do it.
so that's an interesting bet. I like these prop bets. I'm hoping that I'm glad.
I do too.
Obviously, the points differential in NBA games is pretty slim as far as from a Vegas standpoint. So I think we're gonna be going into a lot of prop bets outside of maybe like XFL games or something like that, which will be kicking off what in a week or so. Looking forward to that. So our producers are gonna have his hands full coming up with some of these prop bets, but it's gonna be exciting, and I think we're gonna add in a new element to bring you guys as the listeners into this as well. So looking forward to that. But yeah, these prop bets have been they're pretty fun, especially when you start multiple sports, combining basketball, football, soccer, football. This is pretty cool. So,
And we really do hope that you as the fans are enjoying this, that you guys and girls join in on some of these with us. We'd love to have you come in and do a side bet of your own for us to throw in or ask us questions or whatever you want to get to be part of the action. So by all means, please reach out to us. We'd love to include you on the show. But with that, let's go ahead and take a break, John, and give our sponsor a little bit of airtime, and then we'll come back and talk about our serious points for the week.
welcome back, everyone, to season 2, episode 23 of the Sports Talk Garage. Again, you've got John and Matt here. David's taking the week off to recover from some of those lovely illnesses that are going around the country at the moment. So we just got done talking about our predictions. Shout out to our producer, Chris, for coming up with some pretty awesome prop bets for us this week. Really looking forward to that again as we continue into the NBA season and XFL and all that fun stuff coming up. Maybe a little baseball here soon as well. So he'll have his hands full for sure. So again, we're kind of reversed order this week in light of everything that's going on. But let's talk about two big things that transpired last week. Let's start with the more pleasant of the two at the moment. Eli Manning's retirement. I don't know if this was I don't think it was a shock. I kind of wondered if he was gonna like maybe try to extend out, kind of do something similar to what Peyton did, and maybe look for another team to have like kind of one last ride, sort of like we're talking about Tom Brady, and he may or may not be staying with the Patriots, and maybe goes somewhere else for one or two more seasons before he calls it done. But like, so first off, Matt, when you heard this, what did you think? Like, did this surprise you at all, or you're like, oh yeah, that's what I expected, or what were you thinking?
No, I think it's about what I expected. He's kind of at the point where he's at the end of his contract. He was supplanted by Jones out of Duke in his first year. I kind of wondered how much longer he's going to make it, not to mention that this is his original team that he's got two Super Bowl titles from. So, I really thought this was coming. It was just a matter of time. I didn't know how long he was going to try to hang out as a backup when he's not a backup type of player.
See, I like, yeah, I don't think it didn't surprise me necessarily, but just because of age and the fact that he sat a good bit of the year and stuff like that. But a part of me really did think that he was gonna pull up a Peyton and try to have one last ride somewhere. Like QBs are such a commodity right now, or in the NFL. I mean, it's just like there's so many opportunities if you are a experienced and talented quarterback. Teams need that because there's definitely a chunk of teams throughout the NFL that are severely lacking QB talent. Carolina comes to mind. The Bears potentially come to mind, depending on how that Trubisky thing rolls out. I mean, you got Jacksonville. I mean, Tampa Bay is, who knows what you get with Jameson. There's a lot of teams that just like immediately pop up in my mind as saying,
Absolutely.
yeah, they could probably use a quarterback. So I part of me did think, okay, maybe he signs a 1 year deal or 2 year deal somewhere. And maybe he doesn't play the full 2 years, but maybe he signs a
An
decent
extension
money.
somewhere.
And just has one little ride somewhere. So I was a little surprised by that. But you know what? He's the thing is with him is that I feel like he has taken an absolute beating physically over the last few years when he has played. The New York Giants have not done anything to benefit him in my mind. I mean, they got rid of pretty much every offensive weapon that he had, and then their offensive line has been a joke. I mean, they kind of screwed him, unfortunately. Because had he had the offensive line of, like a Tom Brady or something like that, I think, no talent. Or think if he would have been on any other team out there with some offensive weapons. I mean, the guy has talent. He showed that he's 2-time Super Bowl champion. He might be a little bit of a game manager in some regards, but that gets the job done. I mean, he was the MVP in both those Super Bowls. He's a 4-time Pro Bowler. I mean,
Well, when your two Super Bowl wins, I believe, are both against New England, right? At least one
yeah,
of them was.
yeah.
That's a pretty big deal considering the time zone that was in. They
Yeah,
were
so
coming off an undefeated season, if I remember correctly.
he's got a proven
New England
track
was.
record there. Yeah. So I mean, he's going to go down as I think in my mind a very successful quarterback. I feel like he stayed in New York about 2 or 3 seasons too long. Definitely probably 2 seasons too long. And I feel like that last little stint is going to kind of have a little bit of a scar on his overall legacy about what he accomplished. Just because, that whole team really honestly turned into a joke, and unfortunately he got wrapped up. As a quarterback, you're always going to get wrapped up into it when your team sucks. So, I don't know, man. What do you think? Like, do you see him as a Hall of Famer?
Yeah, he'll. I mean, you can't win two Super Bowl rings, be MVP a couple times without being a Hall of Famer. I think that's kind of written in the cards. I think both Manning brothers, based on what they've done in their time, are easily those spots. I'm going to bring up a fun memory though. Do you remember the year that he got drafted?
Yeah. Why don't you tell people about that?
Okay, so the Giants had the fourth overall pick. But basically, the Mannings had really kind of made their discussion known that the Giants are where they wanted to be. And especially to the San Diego Chargers, who had the first pick that year. And on draft day, the Chargers select Manning. Now, the best part about that whole bit, in my opinion, I watched, everybody smiling, Eli standing there with his parents. And everybody's just happy-go-lucky. First draft pick comes out, San Diego Chargers choose Eli Manning. His mom's face dropped so fast and hard. It was like something out of a Looney Tunes show where the anvil drops right on mom's face and pulls it down. I mean, it was ugly. I've only seen a couple people do that. But I mean, it just, wow. So anyway, about 25 minutes in, after the Giants already written down Ben Roethlisberger as their choice, Chargers call and offer Manning, and the deal gets done. So basically, Philip Rivers gets picked up, sent over to San Diego for Manning, and the Chargers also got three of the Giants' draft picks, including the first round pick in 2005. I mean, that's. It's almost the same situation that they were in with Daniel Jones. Basically, the entire state franchise, everybody basically thought that the Giants overpaid for Manning by a ton. So, and then he walks in, and as a rookie, he pulls in and loses his first six games. He had the most, I want to call it wavy career, couple bad years, couple great years, and then back down the bad years, couple coach changes in there. Do I think he's Hall of Fame? Yeah. Is he my favorite Manning? Not at all. I felt bad that Peyton only got one ring, considering that he's, in my opinion, a much more knowledgeable quarterback, play caller. I mean, half the time in his last, what, probably 3 years of play, maybe even longer than that, Peyton's the one making calls from the field. You know, they have a game plan. You know, coach can send in a play, but he's looking at the field going, nope, change. And nobody's going to question it because it's Peyton. And Peyton, it wasn't like Peyton was calling it, knew that he had a franchise that he could walk over. It was, he's that smart. You know?
Yeah.
And
Well,
I just didn't see that in Eli.
and clarification too, obviously, like, I mean, even just to clarify for the listeners, like, obviously Manning only got one with the Colts. He did end up getting the one with the Broncos too at the end of the career. But yeah, I mean, like, if you're talking Colts, which is really like the comparison between the Manning brothers, Colts, Giants, yeah, the fact that they were so close so many times, but that Colts team, they had no defense ever. It was like
No.
one of the worst defensive teams I think I've ever seen. And the fact that they still were managed to make multiple deep runs and actually finally get themselves a ring one of those days as well. That was, yeah,
No, I
I.
think some of the most fun games were getting to watch Peyton Manning go up against Drew Brees when they would get in those 2 minute drills, and it would just be firing rockets, and those guys would just run the score up at the end of the game. It was crazy.
Yeah, I feel like that's like one thing that'll always kind of be a little bit of a dent on Eli's legacy is that he's always going to be compared to Peyton. And yeah, I mean, I to till still this day, I in my mind, I feel like Peyton Manning is the greatest quarterback. You know, I know he doesn't have the rings, but when I talk about knowledge of the game and just the ability to see things, and I mean, the guy is a freaking wizard when it comes to play calling. I in my mind he'll always go down as I think the best QB in my personal opinion. I know that a lot of people will disagree with that, and I think even ones that disagree will still have to throw him into the top 2 to 3 type range. You know, with the Brady's of the world and stuff like that. But I mean, yeah, to see, and I never really saw that from Eli, and I don't know
Right.
if it was just because more attention was on Peyton or what, but it just seemed like. Like Peyton had the reputation for just the amount of time and preparation. I mean, he, if anything, you have to say he probably was the greatest prep quarterback of all time.
Oh,
And
he has. I talked to his position coach at Indianapolis. I can't remember his name. He was the head coach for a while, Brown, maybe. But he was telling us that basically Peyton has file cabinets full of defensive coordinators going all the way back to, I think it was high school. So if he hears a name, he goes into his file, pulls that whole file out, and just takes a look at the coordinator.
I mean, I
Mean,
don't doubt it. I don't
that's
doubt it.
intense.
Yeah,
That is
I
a
mean,
student of the game, clearly.
and I never heard that about Eli, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. But yeah, I mean, Eli, you mentioned earlier, he had a pretty bad first season. I think, like, in his fourth start, if I remember reading correctly, he finished the game with like a 0.0 passer rating and stuff. Threw a lot of picks and stuff. So it obviously, like, turned out pretty well for the Giants in the long run, as far as, you know, he did get them some rings. But yeah, we'll see how that works out with your Dookie over there with Daniel Jones, because you're right, it was a similar reaction for how much they paid for him. Will that pay off in the long run, or not?
And
We'll
that's just
have to
what
see.
kind of came to my mind. I think one of the things you want to kind of keep in mind is that there's only so many players who have been in the league that stayed with their team. Gosh, I had them all pulled up earlier, so forgive me, but I want to say that the article I read, there was about, 13 high point names that played all the way through, a couple offensive linemen. Ray Lewis was one of them that ended up with the Baltimore Colts. But, as many seasons as Eli's been there, and then retiring from that franchise, that, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say they'll retire his number. They're going to give him a place of honor where he's at. It's kind of a big deal for him to to place that out. And just one last thing of interesting note is, in 8 postseason victories on the way to 2 Super Bowl MVP awards, Manning threw for 15 touchdowns, was intercepted twice. He also got up off the ground after 20 sacks, like
Jeez.
by himself. So, as you said, the offensive line didn't give him the best protection in a lot of places, but you know, when it comes down to it, he's a Manning and he showed that.
Yeah, obviously a tremendous history throughout that family. And even the like the what isn't there another Manning brother that's in like the financial world or something like that
Yeah, I believe
that
so.
think doing pretty well for himself as well. So yeah, I think that I appreciate the fact that he's going out on his own terms. Like I said, he maybe should have done it the year before. Who knows? Maybe they asked him to stay. I don't know. I mean, there was a lot of rumors flying last year about the relationship going on, but I will give him credit for, going out with his terms and the fact that he's going to stay with one team. As a fan base, you never want to see, a guy that you've watched for 15 years or whatever the case may be, go on and then put on another uniform somewhere else. Especially not when they end up like if it was in the, what if he became a cowboy or something like that, something crazy or a Redskin or something. Then he's like you got to see him multiple times a year in addition to it. So I think like the fan base will appreciate the fact that he hung it up as a Giant. We talked about that with like seeing Steve Smith leave Carolina and stuff and like him, obviously, the way he retired I think helped the fan base kind of, get some closure there. But it's never easy when it's a guy you watch and seen or basically seen these guys grow up. Since we get a first exposure to them in a pro level at such a young age, we really see them become men and families and things like that. And then suddenly they're up, across the country with somebody else. So I appreciate that, and I'm sure the Giants fans appreciate it. I haven't had a chance to talk to, but so, like I said, several family members that are Giants fans. So I'll be interested to get their takes on the whole situation and what they think of his legacy over the coming weeks. But yeah, like I said, I do appreciate that. I'm sure they do as well that he held it up as a Giant.
Yep, absolutely. Well, with that, let's switch over to our kind of sad moment from this week, which was the news of an NBA legend, Kobe Bryant, passing away in an unexpected helicopter crash. Personal helicopter, multiple folks inside the helicopter, so it wasn't just him. I think that the saddest thing about this is that, not only do we see how much outpouring has come from the community, whether he really touched your life or not, there's a lot of respect for him as a person. And I even read somewhere, with everything going on in our nation right now, especially around politics, there's always stuff going on outside the country with potential threats, blah blah. It took the death of Kobe, and we'll even throw his daughter in, and all of the others that were in the crash to bring a nation together.
Yeah, I mean,
So,
that's the thing about sports is that it's kind of the great equalizer. People be pissed off. Oh, I'm on the left, I'm on the right, whatever, Monday through Friday. But then like Saturday and Sunday when it comes to like college and pro sports, stuff like that. Then you see people like they forget about their politics and they go to these games and their arms together, locked arms together, cheering for a team and supporting a team together. So sports has kind of always been the great equalizer and balancer of like the world, and I think even more so now as politics are becoming more and more of a thing that's being discussed, and with like you said threats and wars and things like that, it's such more prominent. And I'm sure it was like that back in the day, but obviously without social media, that's definitely changed things and kind of up the ante in probably honestly a negative way with a lot of these politics and political turmoil and world turmoils. But again, sports, even today with all the negativity out there, sports has always been the thing that kind of brings us all together. And yeah, I mean, like, you know, our producer Chris like shot us over a text message on it was like what, early Sunday afternoon, and it was like the TMZ article. And my reaction was the same reaction that Shaq had when he saw it. He said that his nephew came in, showed him his phone, and he said, Snap said, I
Get out of
snapped at
here.
him. Yeah, he's like, I snapped at him. I was pissed. And I had the same reaction. I'm like, what is this garbage that TMZ's putting out? Like, who the heck are them to be putting out some kind of BS article like this? And then in part of me was like, wait a minute, like, yeah, TMZ has some dumb stuff they put out there, but usually when it comes to stuff like this, they usually, like, unfortunately, are fairly factual. And then, you know, I sent it over to a couple of buddies of mine. They're huge NBA guys, and they hadn't even heard the news yet. And they're like, you're kidding me right now. Like, stop playing around. And I'm like, I hope that this is BS, but I'm like, I unfortunately, I don't think it is. And then, you know, obviously it started being confirmed by more and more news sources. And, you know, my phone was like blowing up with people texting, and like obviously all the news and Twitter feeds are coming in. And like every single time it was just like, please tell me this is real, like tell me this is some kind of joke, or this is just like misinformation or something. And obviously, unfortunately, it turned out not to be. But yeah, I mean, you mentioned earlier, man, like respect. And like, you know, I'm not a big NBA guy, and you know, Kobe's always been on the other side of the line as far as the teams that I've supported. So, you know, I've never, you know, like I don't own a Kobe jersey or anything like that. And probably, you know, I may not ever, just because he's like, you know, he's a Laker and I'm not a Lakers guy. And, you know, Lakers are always been, you know, the dark side when it comes to the teams that I follow. But respect is the thing that like immediately came to mind when I started thinking about like my personal interpretation of his legacy. You know, it reminds me of like, you know, like a Brett Favre situation. Like don't like the guy on the field, but you respect the guy for like what he did for the game. And like you know, to me, Kobe was as influential to the NBA as Michael Jordan was. And you know, like we could talk about stats, and I don't want to get into all that, but we can talk about like Jordan put the NBA like in such a limelight. It seems like every generation needs like that one big player to like keep the NBA flowing forward. And Kobe was definitely that guy of that generation. Like love him or hate him on the court, you know, it was inspirational to watch. I mean, he would blow you away with some of these statistics and some of the shots he would make. And then obviously with like I started respecting him even more, you know, at the end of his career and as he, you know, once he got out of the game. And, you know, I know Kobe had some things in his past that he, you know, wasn't proud of, as, you know, a lot of people have. There's things that they wish they could take back. But I feel like the family man Kobe started to really, really come out in the latter portions of his career, and certainly after his retirement. You started to see like, okay, this man, he's a genuinely like true inspirational person and man, and taking care of his family. And you saw the relationship between him and his daughters. And obviously, like, you know, as you and I both have children now, like that hits home for me. Like it wasn't just the Kobe thing hurt bad enough, and then you start hearing about the children. And again, as parents, like it was like another dagger, another dagger, another dagger, because I can't even possibly imagine the pain and the suffering and everything else that's going through that situation. So it's just like it still doesn't feel real, if that makes any sense. It just feels like, you know, like, well, I'm gonna wake up tomorrow and this is gonna be all some kind of big hoax, you
Probably
know.
was a bad dream.
Yeah, it's been weird. Like, so
It's
we've had this podcast, you know, for a couple of years now, and obviously you guys, you know, who listen know that I do an F1 podcast as well. And like there's been four people this year that have been inspirational to sports that we've had to say goodbye to this year. You know, with Charlie Whiting, like the night essentially before the F1 season started, Niki Lauda, one of the greatest F1 drivers of all time, We lost Antoine Hubert, up and coming star, just a tragic freak accident that, again, same reaction. I was watching that race live, and I saw it, and I instantly knew. I was like, I don't think there's any way that he survived that. And then it, you know, when the news came out, it literally like felt like getting kicked in the stones. And it was the same reaction here. It's like, I don't know, man.
Well, we also lost John Andretti this year,
Yeah,
his
last
battle with
night.
colon cancer, right? So that's it's definitely been a tough year. I mean, I've seen a lot over the last couple of years of I guess music stars that have passed away for various reasons, and people say the same thing. You know, it's different things affect different people. A lot of people can be entertainment industry, which I think sports is probably the biggest entertainment industry out there. And when you see these people that are high profile pass away, it's I think it's like you said, whether you knew the guy personally, which most don't, it's still an effect because we grew up kind of watching Kobe. You know, he's not much older than we are. So, you know, we would have been at that point in our lives where what junior high school is when he graduated high school and went straight to the pros. And, you know, you're watching the NBA, and that was back at the time of a lot of these big players that would just bang on the boards down inside compared to, I won't get in too far, but, you know, kind of what we see today, with a lot of different things that are being let go in the sport and rules and blah, blah. But, you know, there was definitely a difference in the time that he played there. In fact, I remember having some conversations within a week of Kobe passing away that, you know, everybody was kind of waiting for Kobe to become a part owner of the Lakers or to take over the Lakers or something, just because of his history and, you know, the amount that he's earned. I think it was like 658 billion that we know about. That's probably too much. 658 million, sorry, wrong letter. But you know, that was earned just through his contracts and things that we know about, such as, you know, Coke deals or whatever it may be. And now you've got so we were talking about how he was going to be an owner, and we were kind of laughing like he's going to walk out there and look at the players and say, "What do you mean you're not practicing, you know, 15 hours a day?" Because he had that work ethic. He
Yeah.
was always the guy that would you know, Larry Bird or Magic Johnson style, he was literally on the court all the time, after games, before practice, after practice, putting in that time, putting in those hours. You know, nobody's really talking about the history he had when he first got started, and you know, some allegations that came in there, et cetera. And that's right now we're in, you know, in our phase where we're, you know, kind of dealing with the loss. But you know, the man that he'd become before passing away, the family man, the business leader, et cetera, you know, and time he's spending with these kids doing camps and all these types of things, you know, it's definitely a loss.
Yeah.
He had a lot of life left and a lot of things left to give to the world, the community, and you know, it's gonna be hard to have that kind of hole and see if somebody fills it.
Yeah, I mean, we talked. I don't remember who said it, but it was, you know, someone in the media or an athlete. You know, I don't remember if it was Shaq or Charles or someone like that. But it was, they're talking about how, like, you just kind of expect, like, sports legends of this nature. They said it like you just think they're just gonna live forever. Like they just it just feels like you know Shaq even talked about in like his speech like growing up and watching these legends of the game and now seeing them like grow old and you know he's like oh they're old men now and he's like that's just what you come to expect that you're just gonna be able to just you know watch these guys up in their 80s you know and they're, like that's like, because they're just gonna keep living and living and living and have fulfilled lives and things like that. And you know, it's like, especially when it happens like so young. You know, I mentioned like the Antoine Hubert, what was 19, and you know, like a couple years ago, we saw America's own Nikki Hayden was, you know, MotoGP champion, was killed tragically while he was out cycling. He was hit by a car, and like the news, like you just don't think like you survived so much. And like went through, you know, think about the literally tens of thousands of times probably that, you know, these guys have been in airplanes and flown and stuff for traveling the games. And it's like, you just don't think this stuff's gonna happen. It shocks you. But I mean, I think to go back to like his legacy, like I thought it was an excellent idea for the NBA. You know, they postponed the Clippers Lakers game. I think that alone, the fact that the NBA would cancel an entire game shows the impact. But then you saw around literally, I think the entire league where, you know, teams were starting their games with taking either a 24-second shot clock violation to honor him, or they're taking a 8-second backcourt violation. Obviously, Kobe wore 8 and 24 in his career. And it was just cool to see, like, it wasn't really advertised. A lot of times the fans, it took them a little bit to like realize what was going on, like the tip off, and then the players are just standing there. They cross the, in a backcourt, and they're just standing there as the shot clock winds down, and then they, you know, throw the ball to their team. Their team does the exact same thing, and then you see like the fans are realizing what's going on, and they're starting to like rise up and cheer, and you know, just the tributes and stuff. And now the NBA came out earlier, just what, yesterday I think it was, and said that they're changing the entire format of the All-Star game this year to honor Kobe. So they're going to break it out into three separate quarters. Like the first three quarters will all be set as like individual games, pretty much, and all those will go to charities. And then the last quarter, they'll do kind of something funky with you know, a combination of the tallies of points and stuff like that. But they're doing it like the final tallyation, they're adding 24 to honor Kobe. And you know, we saw like, where I think it was like Connecticut Huskies like came out and to honor his daughter, because she always wanted to be a Husky apparently, and so they like made a jersey for her and honored her this week, as like, you know, basically an honorary Husky. It came out this week that Kobe's will be first ballot Hall of Fame, and just the impact to like when like someone, we lose someone like this, and then you see like, holy crap, like the amount of people that they touched, is incredible.
Oh, it's crazy. It really is. And, you know, I'm kind of hoping that the helicopter crash itself doesn't loom over the man necessarily, because, you know, I think a lot of people want to know at this point, like, why did it crash? How'd that happen? You know, I was reading an article through the New York Times. I think they're pretty good on, you know, how they do their research in a lot of ways, but basically, they're, you know, everybody's kind of talking about how did all this happen? Why did it happen? I mean, the reason it happens is unfortunate, right? But they could, I believe I read an article said it can take up to a year for the FAA, the Flight Administration, to come out and kind of give their ruling on what happened. But from what I've read, I mean, it was a fast crash. Supposedly the company itself, from three different sources, says that the company was not registered to fly in what's called instrument flight rating weather, which basically means they were flying through clouds and fog and really thick to where you can't see the ground. So it wasn't visibility. The guy flying it had been a pilot. He was 50 years old and he got certified in 1998. He was an instructor. So he may have had that. The helicopter that they were in had all the instruments for instrument flight rating, but supposedly the company itself was not rated or insured or whatever it was to be able to fly instrument rating. So it didn't matter. So there could be a lot that looms over this based on the history and the story side. So again, I hope that this lives through for a while. I hope that we get some great charities that get involved in this. You know, the NBA really puts their foot forward on his legacy as a player. But yeah, it's going to be a tough loss. It'll be probably all of 2020 as people are continuing to talk about him. So let's just hope that a lot of good comes from a loss like this.
Yeah, it was I was like, again, talking to some of my buddies that are massive NBA guys, you know, drop everything to go see a big NBA matchup, and like one of them said, like All-Star game offseason in Chicago is right here, it's 2 miles from me coming up. And he was saying like All-Star game, NBA playoffs, he was like, they're just kind of meaningless right now. Like, after what happened, he was like I don't even know like how I get amped up for those games, like knowing like what's happened. And I'm obviously the NBA's doing things as far as the All-Star game to bring Kobe's relevance and his legacy into that, so that that can be like, I see what he's saying there, but I at the same time I feel like the NBA will do their part to make those big events like kind of a healing for the NBA community, to find ways to tribute and to say thanks and say goodbye through some of these big events. So that's what I see. Like, I know how he's feeling and he's hurting as an NBA guy. But I think like that'll be those events will kind of be like a coming together, to celebrate the game, celebrate Kobe, celebrate the legacy, and that it'll bring the entire NBA community together through that. So especially the All-Star game, where you'll have representation from everywhere, and NBA play, playoffs, and especially the championship. I mean, you'll have millions of people from around the world will be tuning in to watch that. So,
Yeah.
the platform's definitely there
Well,
to honor him.
absolutely. And we do need to wrap up this episode. We hope that you've enjoyed listening to the preparation we've done on some of this as we kind of give our send off to Kobe, who's a legend of the game and is really doing a lot for the community. For Eli Manning, that we're not sure about, but we're assuming he's kind of pulled the up to the end of his career, retiring as a Giant. And then also enjoyed the fun that we had earlier in the episode with all the prop bets that our producer Chris has found. So, let's go ahead and sign off with that. Thanks, guys, for and gals for listening. We certainly appreciate the support, and we hope you all have a great week.
Yeah, as Kobe would say, Mamba out.
Mamba out.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you'd like to have your sports-related question or comment featured on the show, please email us at sportstalkgarage@gmail.com. Also, if you want to keep up to date with us outside of the show, please follow us on Twitter at sportsgaragepod. If you enjoy the show, please drop us a 5-star review and subscribe if you want to hear more. So for Chris back in the studio, David and Matt, I'm John, and we are the Sports Talk Garage.